Lord tonight, and we're in a series of True Righteousness Revealed. Named this title tonight, The Test for True Righteousness, because from here on out, there's two of everything, and there's two roads tonight that we're going to study, and we're in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And I'm going to ask you to stand in honor and reverence out of the reading of God's Word tonight. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Let's pray. Father God, I just come to you tonight, Lord, just thanking you for this opportunity. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, I would decrease and you would increase tonight, Lord. That I would just be your messenger tonight, Lord. That it would be all about your message, Father. Lord, I just pray that as we open up your word tonight, that we open up our hearts, Father. Give us ears to hear. Give us a heart, Father, that's softened to receive your word, Father. And Father, we confess right now that the enemy is a defeated foe and he has no place here. Father, I ask that you would put the words in my mouth, the thoughts in my head, Lord. Use me as your instrument tonight, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Two verses, very important. Test for true righteousness. We've been in, last week he talked about pursuing God, actively pursuing God. And today more so than ever, because we get into the point here of the series where there's two. We got to really know that we're on the right road. You see, this study tonight, there's two roads. And both of them are saying they go to heaven. The wide road and the narrow road. They're both yelling and declaring, this is the way, we're on our way. Did you know that there was a survey done and 92% of Americans say that they are going to heaven? That's only 8% that are going to hell. You believe that? I tell you, the enemy's got some people deceived. He's got them deceived. And maybe tonight, I just pray that God give us clarity and that we take a step back and see that we're really on the narrow road. And I believe through His Word and His Holy Spirit, He will do that tonight. You see, it's not enough to know about Jesus. It's not enough to believe in Jesus, but the way we distinct this is we follow Jesus. And he makes that clear in the scriptures. You know, it's a bad feeling when you've planned something for a long time, a vacation that you're looking forward to, and you're going to enjoy it, and it's promised that it's going to be great. And you go there, and you're going to go check in your room. You travel hundreds of miles, and man, you've made sacrifices to make this trip. And you go up to the desk, and you say, yes, my name is David Medina. I got a reservation here. And they look in the book and say, sorry, sir, your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How sad. But we're talking about eternity tonight. Eternity. Remember, this life is a dot compared to eternity. This is forever. This is nothing to play with. There's an urgency here tonight. So as we look at this, the scriptures, let's look at these two roads and examine them. How they are. Again, I want you to understand that the two roads, before you enter, it says that you're going to heaven. You're all right. Let's look at the first one here in verse 13. It says there, enter by the narrow gate. That's a command, okay? And that's Jesus talking. It's a command. And we're going to get to that one in verse 14. But it says here, for the wide is there, the gate is broad, and the way that leads to it is destruction, and there are many. There's a couple of things there. First and foremost, it's wide. It don't matter. The principle here is that, you know what, there's a couple of things here. We enter this road with self-sufficiency. You got an outline there. The entrance to this road is self-sufficiency. In other words, what you're saying is, God, I know what you're saying, but I don't need you. I can do it in my own strength. There's a lot of people going down this road that are Home Depot people. Home Depot's designed for you to go and do it yourself. And as they're traveling down this highway, I can just see them going down this highway, driving, going there, and they're singing that famous song that Frank Sinatra sang, I did it my way. Straight to hell. Straight to destruction. You see, there's no hindrances at all. You come in, you bring your baggage, you can't, all your beliefs, all your passions, all everything. You just come and you're all right. You're going to heaven. That's what they're saying. I hope you don't believe that. That's a lie straight out of the pit of hell. It's very popular there. It says there are many. It's got to be right. I mean, there's so many people doing on that right road that's got to be right. The majority rules. I don't think so. We go back to the days of Noah. You remember that? Noah was there. It was only him and his family. The whole everybody else that was around him thought, look at this wacko. He's narrow-minded. He's crazy. We ain't even seen a cloud in years. But can you? I wish I would have been there because I know, I can just imagine when the Noah was there and he was closing the door and it closed and all of a sudden the sky, you heard some thunder roll. People look at each other, we made a huge mistake and it was too late. The door was closed. I want you to understand something. There was only one entrance to that boat. One. And just like tonight, God's word is going to show us that there's just one way to heaven. It's popular. And it's easy. It's broad. It's very easy because there's no requirements. There's nothing. You just come and whatever you believe is okay. Whatever you want to do is okay. I mean, you're good. And you're going to heaven. After all, God is a loving God, isn't He? Yes, He is. But He's also a just God. He's a just God. And they are the people use the classic, well, what kind of God is this that sends people to hell? He don't. You send yourself to hell because He's made provision for you to have eternal life. You choose it. Nobody will be able to stand before God and say, well, nobody told me. I didn't know. Because let me tell you, on this highway, there's a lot of signs that say turn back. The bridge is out. It's disaster. And those signs come in a form of a church, a friend, a parent, somebody that's telling you, man, you need the Word of God. You need Jesus in your life. You need to get on the straight and narrow, I'm telling you. And there's an urgency because we can walk out of here tonight and tomorrow's not promised, loved one. Tomorrow's not promised. So you see, it's entered by self-sufficiency. In Romans 10:3, it says this. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. You see, they said, you know, we don't want none of that, Lord. We're going to live life for self. Yeah, every now and then we might say a prayer or two. Every now and then we might go to church. We might even make a donation. But you know what? Bottom line, I'm living for self. I just do that because it makes me feel good. They feel, you know, I am. I mean, I'm going to heaven. And people really believe that. That is so sad. The wide road destination is destruction. It's hell. And the people are on this road, are traveling and telling each other, it's okay. We're all right. You're good. I'm good. Man, that great. We're all going to heaven. That's what they say. Look at what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3. While the people were saying, there's peace, there's security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains comes upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. You will not escape. You will be responsible for the choice that you've made. I was thinking about that, and those of y'all that have gone through childbirth, there's no epidurals, guys. There's no way out. There's no way out. So I got to ask myself, why is it that if people, you know, let's just take a physical road and there's a bridge out there, why is it that people continue to travel on this road if they know it ends in destruction? If it knows it ends in destruction. It's because they're basing their salvation on their standards, on their beliefs. That's what they're basing on, not on God's word. And let me tell you something. There's so many people that believe. There's so many people that do good things. They're good people. I'm going to show you some here in Scripture. I hope you can follow along because we're going to go through some Scriptures. Wide road standards to heaven. In Proverbs 14:12. Number one is this. Proverbs 14:12. Wide road standards to heaven. Here's one of them. One's beliefs. I mean, that's just the way I believe. You ain't going to change my mind. That's just the way I believe that, you know what, I'm all right. I can go to church once a year, two times a year. It don't matter. I don't have to have fellowship with God. I mean, I have my own. I've had people tell me, well, you know, I believe, but, you know, me and God got a good thing going on, and I go sit in my deer stand, and we're there, and we talk, and that's great. We, you know, I, me and God just got a special thing going on. It's like, are you for real? Listen, it says there in Proverbs 14:12, says, there's a way that seems right to man, but it ends in the way of death. Call me naive, is it possible that you could be wrong? I believe it is. Listen, it leads to death. And when we take this attitude, it's what you're saying is, I know better. I know better. Another one is this. In Mark 10:21. This is Jesus. He was traveling, and this rich young ruler came up to him and says, Lord, how can I have eternal life? And this one here, many people love this when they really think, yeah, this is why I'm going to heaven. Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. And this is what Jesus told him. He goes, oh, you want to go to eternal life? He goes, yeah. And this is what Jesus told him. He goes, you know what? He says, you need to do these commandments. He goes, I've done them all. Now, those five commandments that he told him in that scripture were all for relational, but not to God. And he called him on it. And I love the scripture here because God is so merciful. And he's so graceful because he could have just nailed this guy to the wall. But look what he says in Mark 10:21. He says, and Jesus looking at him loved him. Because this guy had just told him, hey, I've done those commandments. He goes, dude, are you for real? Please, are you for real? I mean, he's telling God that, man, I've done this. I'm good. And so many people believe that man, my works are going to get me to heaven. I'm a good person. I am. But to tell you what, there's going to be a lot of good people in hell. A lot of good people in hell. Self-righteous. He says that, he goes, that he loved them. He goes, look back to one thing. He goes, he says, love him. He says, he loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell that you have. Give to the poor and you will have treasures in heaven. And come, follow me. You get that? Now remember, he was a rich ruler. What was Jesus telling him? Hey, trade your treasures here on earth versus the ones in eternity. And follow me. He couldn't do it. And that's what God is telling us tonight. He said, man, you can't get there on your works. You are not that good. You got to be covered by the blood. Listen, we have one's beliefs, self-righteousness. The next was in John 8:33. John 8:33, and these people here, this one is religion. Wide road standards to heaven is one's belief, self-righteousness, religion. Now these were people, Jews, and they would believe in Father Abraham, and Jesus was coming around them and telling them, hey, you can be free. And here's what his response was. He goes, their response, Jesus said, hey, you can be free. And this is their response in John 8:33. They answered him, we're offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? This is religion. Say, man, I go to a Baptist church. Man, I go to a Catholic church. Man, I light candles. I count beads. I do all this stuff. Listen, that don't mean nothing when it comes down to salvation. It's religion. It's your effort. God says that we're saved by grace. None of your works. He goes, and it's not a religion. These guys were saying, man, well, we're under Abraham. Abraham's, you know, God says, man, you got it wrong. You got it wrong. And if you're thinking this way, just because I remember, I'll never forget this. One day I was at a funeral, and there was a crowded place, and I don't know the individual. I was there with somebody else, and the person behind me was talking kind of abruptly loud, and this lady, and she was saying, she goes, "Well, I've always been a Catholic, and I always will be a Catholic." And I don't know, the Holy Spirit just, you know, I don't know, man. They just prompted me, just checked my height. I turned around and said, "Let me tell you something, lady. There's no Catholics, there's no Baptists, there's no Pentecostals in heaven. Just followers of Jesus Christ. That's it." I tell you, people, that is not a popular thing. Because when you go against their beliefs, they think, "Oh, no, no." Another time, there was an individual, we had a church, and there was a funeral of a young boy, and I did that funeral, and this young boy's family was in divorce, and this young man knew everybody. Basically, he had come to our church, and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. 2 weeks later, he was in a car accident and died. Young man, fixing to graduate, going to go to the Navy. Everybody was so broken and stuff. And I preached the gospel to him. I told him the truth, just what I just told you right now. Let me tell you something. There was 350 people in that place. And not one came by and looked at me or nothing. Not that they're supposed to, but usually they tell. But you know what? One man did come up to me, now that I remember. And he came at the graveside service. He goes, "Thank you for preaching the truth. It's not popular. But you know what? It's truth, and it's going to stand. Like it or not, you can deceive yourself if you like you. It'll make you feel better, but at the end of the day, it's wrong. It is wrong." So you know, your beliefs, your self-righteousness, your religion is not going to save you. And then there's this last one here. And this is where a lot of people are at. They twist the truth. They have a corrupt mind. It's in Romans 1:28. This is Jesus talking about individuals living a lifestyle. And it says this in Romans 1:28. They continue to live this lifestyle. He says, "And furthermore," this is Paul talking, "and furthermore, since they did not think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a deprived mind to do what ought not to be done." What do you mean? You mean God gave them over? No, they gave themselves over first. In other words, what they were doing is, this is a consuming passion. It's foolish thinking. They knew the truth. It's a little bit different than the other one, but they just had a belief. But these people knew it. They know the truth, but yet they still continued in that consuming passion. "I'm still going to do this." And what they're saying, God's looking down. He says, "You think this is good? You think this is better than me? Here, have it." Because they got a corrupt mind, and they refuse. They're in rebellion. They refused to let go of that. Wow. Sometimes we can go too far. God's a loving God, but I want to assure you something. Our God's a loving God that when you're on this wide highway, I guarantee you there are signs and exits that are pointing you back to turn back, go back. And they come in form of a church, a body. I can't relate that so much. So we know that these are the things that they're looking. But what are Jesus' standards? Here they are. Jesus' standards is to heaven. John 14:6, it says, "And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It didn't say Jesus and. Okay? A lot of people are teaching that gospel. Yeah, Jesus and all these other things. No, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And the question is, on these two roads, is either you have Jesus, and then if you have Jesus, you put him and put him where you want to that. But the other road is, guess what? Jesus has you, and you're following him. Look at this right here. The next verse is John 10:9. He says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pastures." Did you get that? He's the gate. He's the only way. Many people didn't believe that in his days. There were so many prophets and things, and there's some religious. But in today's day, people don't believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father. And how sad that is. Look, God desires a relationship with us. He really does. Listen. Some of us might be on this road and it feels good. It feels right. You say, you can't change my mind. Let me tell you a story about a burning building. The building was burning and the firemen were trying to put it out. Everybody got out of the building. And this woman says, my child is up there. She goes, what do you mean? She goes, yes, my baby's up there. He goes, well, let me go get one of the firemen. I'll risk my life. I'll go get him. Tell me how to get there. Okay, you go up 10 flights, hang a right, go into the second door, and then look in the crib there. It was so smoking and it was infernal. The fireman went up there just like she said, went, took a right, went to the second door. He couldn't see nothing. He grabbed it, and then he came back, went down, and came back. And he goes, here you go, ma'am. The mother got it. And she opened it. She goes, this is not my baby. This is the doll. You see, and some of us are just that way. We think it feels good, it feels right, but at the end, it's not for real. And we pay dearly for it. God is speaking to some of us tonight. So let's look at the other road. The narrow road. The entrance to that one. The entrance to the narrow road is self-denial. Self-denial. Living for God. And people said, amen. Please, come on, guys, let's do it again. Okay. The narrow road interest is self-denial. Living for God. Amen. Oh, man, y'all guys are awesome tonight, man. I tell you. Y'all on fire for the Lord, man. I tell you. It's getting a little warm in here. Look at this, guys. Look, the narrow entrance. Many people don't like this because it's hard. They say, well, man, it's hard. I mean, I can't fit. Just like the illustration David was giving earlier. We try to bring all this junk or Jesus and... No, it's the narrow road. And let me just describe this narrow road for you real quick. Matthew 16, 24. We're going to break this verse down. Because I believe this is the way that God wants us to design it. Matthew 16, 24, it says this. And Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny himself. How does that look? In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Can you say that? I mean, I believe as Christians, we forget that. I mean, we need to download that. I think when we wake up in the morning and if we pray, we need to remind ourselves that I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but He lives in me. How would that change our day? Woo! I no longer live because we do forget, don't we? Don't leave me up here. We do forget. I mean, it's just like the story I heard about that woman that got arrested. She was there, and she pulled up to this light. There was a car in front of her, and the light turned green. This woman was in a hurry. She had an agenda. She was in a hurry, and this car would not go. And finally, and she's over there hollering and honking the horn and making obscene gestures, and man cussing up a storm to move, and the car don't move. And then finally, the light turns yellow, and the car in front of her takes off. And she sits there. Well, next thing you know, there's somebody knocking at her door with a pistol, and it's a cop. He says, step out of the car. Get in the back seat of the car. Let me have your identification. Puts in the back of the car and looks up. And he turns to her and goes, I'm sorry, ma'am. I thought somebody stole your car. She goes, what would make you think that? She goes, well, you see, I saw this person cussing and making obscene gestures, but yet I saw on the bumper, what would Jesus do? God saves. God brings peace. Says, surely somebody had to have stolen her car. Because, you see, we forget. We forget. We need to remember, loved one. I think this would be awesome to start off our day like that. I don't know about you, but I'm going to do that. Because it reminds me that who's living. He says that But let's break down self-denial. What does that look like? Matthew 16, and it says this, and then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone come after me. Now listen, that's the first key. If anybody comes after me. If you're coming after God, it's because you know what you're seeking, and you're not going to. He's going to reveal himself to you, just like we talked last week. But here it goes. He says, come after me, he must deny himself. What is that? Lord, I no longer live. I'm crucified with you. You live in me. It's your agenda. It's you, Lord, the one that you need. I need you, Father, to guide me. It's no longer my needs, my wants. It's you, Lord. Deny yourself. And I believe with all my heart that as Christians, sometimes we forget that we need to deny ourselves. We need to deny ourselves. Not only that, but he says, take up your cross. And that's a twofold thing there. He says, take up your cross. There's two things. The cross represents hardship. Everybody that was crucified, they were asked to carry their cross all the way out. And it was hardship. And you know what? Life is hard. It's hard. But not only that, the cross represents death. Death to self, death to sin, death to my needs, death to my wants, my ambitions. It's death. And then he sews it up and follow me. Pursue me. Why would I do that? Because you know what? If we have a relationship, if God really got us, we would want to pursue him every day of our lives. We'd want to go after him. And that's why some of us sometimes falter. That's why some of us sometimes are not victorious in our Christian life, because we're not pursuing him. God, I need you today. I need your power to flow through me. But you see, we don't. We don't. Every now and then we might, but we don't. A lot of anemic Christians. We need to pursue our God. Yeah, there were some people in Jesus' day that wanted to follow him. I'm going to bring those examples up because maybe there's some of the examples why maybe you're not following him the way you should, or not following him, period. Examples of the cost to follow Christ, and this is in Luke 9:57. Why don't you turn there, 9:57. There's three examples there. Luke 9:57. This is Jesus going town to town, speaking and preaching. And these people obviously heard something. They said, man, I want this. I want to follow him. Look at this. In verse 57, it starts. And as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. First thing, this man didn't follow him because God is telling him, you're going to have to give up something. You're going to have to give up your comfort of your home. And more so, your security. You see, a lot of times we have other things, security. God wants to be your security. And we're not willing to trade that. What is your security? You ever thought about that? Is it your money? Is it your job? Is it your 401k? I hope not, because it's going down. I'll tell you, all these things that people put their security in, Jesus says, man, I want to be your security. Let me be your security. Let me be your comfort. But the only way that's going to happen, if we pursue him, if we follow him. See, many people say, I want to be like Jesus. But there's a cost, and that's denying self. Here's another example in verse 59. He says, and he said to another, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. He had a divided attention. Listen, just because you're a Christian does not mean there's going to be absence of problems. In fact, there's going to be problems, but the thing is, those problems, is the addition of God's power to overcome those problems. That's what that is. But let me just share a different divided attention. So many things. Right now, you may have a divided attention. You were on fire for the Lord. You were going, man, I'm pursuing Him. And then something happened, financially, health-wise. But something happened, and man, you haven't overcome it. You've got like a roadblock there. It's like, God, and I got to wait till this happens. And this guy was saying, hey, I got to take care of this. Amen. And I got to look, and the word didn't say that he died. It says, he goes, I got to bury my father. It didn't say that he was dead. So he's assuming that, hey, he's close to it. Maybe, you know, I don't know. But nevertheless, he put him off. He had a double-minded. That's a hard thing. Because death is something that's hard, especially when it's somebody close to you. He shared something personal with you. About 5 years ago, God called me to pastor a church. First church. Went. And about 3 months into it, we were pastoring. Everything was going great. We were on fire. Thank you, God. I had a 19-year-old son. Came up missing. Let me tell you something. Me and my wife knelt and we said, Lord, we said we were going to follow you no matter what. No matter what obstacle. And we came to the crossroads. Well, is he God or isn't he? Are we going to trust in him or not? And I thank God by his grace, we kept on plowing for the next 4 years. God puts a task before us and I understand that there are seasons to grieve. But don't lose your focus. Don't lose your purpose to pursue God. About 4 years later, they found his remains. I don't know what happened. But I tell you what, God never left my side. God never left my side. Don't stop serving God. Don't start pursuing him just because something happens. I understand there's things that got to be taken care of, but don't take your eyes off him. The enemy would love for you to do that. Here's the next one. In verse 61, he says, and still another one said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said, no one who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. This guy had a double allegiance, a double allegiance. He wanted to serve God, but he kind of wanted to go back and say goodbye to the family. And sometimes we're like that. I want to serve God, but you know what? I got my education to finish. I got to do this. And sometimes we can get back and forth, and we don't get nowhere, or we go to the other extreme, and we leave God behind, and we stop seeking him. Be very careful with that. Be very careful with that. Keep following him. You know, you may say, this is hard. Yeah. That's why there's not that many people. It says there's few. If it was easy, okay, everybody would be there, but it's not. It's hard. But what's the drive? What's the momentum here? Look at this. Because when we come into a relationship with Christ, we fall in love with the Savior. Look at in 2 Timothy 2:3-4. 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. It says this. Endure hardship with us. Like a good soldier of Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. What's my motive there? My motive is to please him. Let me tell you something. If you're following God and your motive is not other than pleasing him, your agenda's wrong. If I'm going to follow God, many people say, well, I tried the Christian life and it just didn't work out for me. I say, well, are you pursuing him with the right heart? I'm pursuing him because I love him. And no other reason. If he chooses to bless me, he blesses me. Because guess what? If God didn't do nothing else but save us, man, we are blessed people. Amen. Blessed. God. But you see, that's our motivation. See, living for God means to honor Him, not people pleasing. It's too much of that going on already. So let me ask you something. Are you on that narrow road? There's four things that real quickly that need to be going down if you're on that narrow road. You should see them. Number one is this. A genuine disciple abides in His Word, in Jesus' Word. Are you abiding in it? See, abiding means action speaks louder than words. It doesn't mean, yeah, He's just my Savior. No, He's my Lord. And because He's my Lord, I'm going to walk the walk. I'm going to take His Word, I'm going to download it in my life, and I'm going to do it unto Him. That's one. Do you see that happening in your life? Number two. And you know what? Just before we buy, God don't like buffet Christians. Buffet Christians go, oh, not this, not that. Oh, I'll take that, definitely. It's all or none. A true follower is going to take it all. He's going to say, yes, Lord. Number two is this. Genuine disciples experience freedom. They experience freedom. Knowing the truth and having a relationship with Jesus Christ frees you from sin. You experience freedom. Do you experience freedom? I mean, wait, can you tell a difference when you got saved and you asked Jesus Christ and 2 or 3 years down the road, you can look back and say, man, I was so out there. I thank God that I'm right here right now and there's more to come. Always room for improvement. But you see, that's the thing. Do you see that happening? Are you experiencing some freedom? Because if nothing's changed, guess what? You may not be on this road. There's got to be some change. Number three is this. Genuine disciples recognize bondage. Bondage is sin. It does not mean because you come into this relationship that you're not going to sin, that you're going to be holy. No, from time to time, we slip up, just like we talked earlier. But this is the thing. What do you do when you mess up? What do? Do you rationalize it? Do you hide it? A genuine believer does these three things. First of all, he's broken about it. God, I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I did this again. And then he confesses, God, I've sinned against you. And then he asks for repentance. God, forgive me. Give me the power to overcome this. Father, don't let it consume me. Many people do that, but they go back and back. And they sin, why? Sin, confess. Listen, if there's something there, take action, man. If it's something on the internet, pull that thing and jerk it out of there. If it's something on the TV, pull it out of there. Pull the plug. It's a choice you're making. And then the last one. Genuine disciples remain in Christ. No matter what happens, we're going to persevere. Make up your mind tonight. Who will you serve today? No matter what, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve Him when I'm on the mountaintop, and I'm going to serve Him when I'm in the valley. When things are good and when things are bad, I'm going to serve Him. He's my God no matter what. There's going to be no flip-flopping, no crawfishing. This is my God. Will you make that mind up tonight? Listen. How does that look? If that is all these four things we talked about, how does that look? In 1 Peter 4:3-4, it says this. You had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy. Their immorality, lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of the wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. Are you experiencing that? That's an awesome thing. Because if you're doing that, you say, man, I'm not doing that no more. People are going to slander you. People are going to say, oh, what? You're so holier than thou? You're going to walk on water now? Like, no, but my Jesus did. And I'm following Him. That's what I'm going to do. And you see, and the thing is this. That's what it looks like. That, man, I'm turned from my ways. I've given that up. I'm turning to Jesus. He's going to empower me to walk this Christian life. But I got to pursue Him. I got to follow Him wholeheartedly. See, it produces holiness. Holiness means separation. So the narrow road's destination is eternal life. It's eternal life. Psalms 16:11 says, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." God has told us the way to heaven. There's a choice to be made here tonight. First and foremost, if you're on the wide road, you really need to examine yourself and turn. Let me just say this and close with this. Listen, look up here. God is speaking to some of y'all here tonight. And if you're on that wide road, there's two things going on there. You know, people on that wide road, they're always thirsty. Jesus stood up in a room after preaching. He says, "If anybody's thirsty, let them come after me. Because you'll never thirst again after you have my Lord." Are you thirsty? See, we're always thirsty for things. When you're on that wide road, "I want to fill it with this. This is going to make me happy. This is going to make me happy." And it never does. Another thing that's due on the road, they're always weary and tired. Jesus said, "Hey, if you're weary and tired, come to me. I'll give you rest." You ready for rest? Are you tired of running? Are you tired of doing this thing? Listen, turn back, please. Turn back. God is talking to you. Today is your sign. Today is the day the Lord has made that you can make it right. Will you do that? Please, don't be afraid. Don't let the enemy talk you out of it. God will take you just the way you are, but He refuses to leave you the way you are because He loves you so much. Don't let the enemy deceive you that you're okay. You don't have Jesus. If you're not following Jesus, you're not okay. Let's pray. Father God, I just ask that you would move tonight, Lord. It is your name that's above all names that can save, Father. Save lives, Lord. Father, I know you've talked to people tonight, Lord. Father, I just ask that they don't harden their hearts, that they would come in faith, Lord, believing in you, that you are the Son of the living God, the only way to heaven. Father, I just pray that you would move. I just ask that tonight you would respond as God leads you. This altar's open. If you wish to come and pray, if you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you, but respond. Father, we ask that you would move as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.